There are times in our lives when it is difficult for us to see what lies beyond the cross. Whether we're talking about the horrific attacks and senseless violence and other manifestations of evil around the world, or we're talking about the crosses that we carry in our personal lives, the loss of a loved one, a debilitating medical condition, pain of a troubled marriage, the uncertainty of prolonged unemployment, or just the everyday sufferings that lie deep in our heart and are often kept hidden from the world, sometimes the cross seems to be nothing more than a source of pain, a meaningless suffering. And it's hard for us to believe that God can bring anything good from it. So thus, what we often fail to see is the glory that awaits us on the other side of that cross. It was no different for the disciples in Jesus' time. For us to understand what's going on in today's gospel, we actually have to back up a few verses. Because just before this moment of transfiguration, this revelation of God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ, St. Luke tells the story of Jesus' prediction of his suffering and his death. The disciples had just returned from their mission of healing the sick and casting out demons and proclaiming the kingdom of God. They had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah of God, the anointed one, the ultimate priest, prophet, and king that they had been waiting for. They were excited. And they were hopeful about what lied ahead. But then Jesus drops this bomb of truth on them. He reveals to the 12 that he will suffer at the hands of the scribes, the elders, the chief priests, and ultimately that he will be put to death before rising on the 3rd day. And if that wasn't enough, he tells the disciples that if they too want to see the kingdom of God, then they must be willing to deny themselves, to take up their own cross, to taste death, and to follow him. But follow him where? Well, the answer is right here in the gospel. On this mountain near Jerusalem, the center of all divine activity for St. Luke, Jesus is transfigured during a moment of prayer to his Father. His face changes in appearance, and his clothes become dazzling white. And as we've learned from the story of Moses and others in the Old Testament, we know that both of these are clear references to a divine encounter. In this moment, Jesus' own divine glory is revealed. He stands with Moses and Elijah, and he's revealed as more than just a lawgiver like Moses or a prophet like Elijah. But instead, he's revealed as the fulfillment of all that the law and the prophets have ever professed. His true identity as a Son of God is revealed and confirmed by the Father as he instructs the disciples to listen to Jesus. But I think what's most important for our consideration here is the one detail that St. Luke gives us in the story of the Transfiguration that the other evangelists do not. Because St. Luke reveals the topic of conversation between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. They were speaking about his exodus, his departure from this world. They were speaking about his death on a cross. And in a way, the disciples were being prepared or conditioned to witness Jesus being put to death in the most shameful, embarrassing, and painful way that the Romans knew how to execute someone. To the disciples, the cross was nothing more than a symbol of evil, cruelty, and senseless suffering. But now the disciples were being given a glimpse of what lies on the other side of the cross, i.e. the glory of God fully revealed. And what was truly being revealed in this moment is the glory that not only awaited Jesus on the other side of the cross, but also the glory that awaits each one of us who are willing to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. We follow him through the shadow of suffering and death, And we make our own exodus from this world to enter into that light of heavenly glory with Him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The truth being revealed on this mountain is that the only way to true honor and glory is the cross. Now, St. Paul elaborates on this in his writings, but he gives particular insight here in this letter to the Philippians, because he's reminding us that we as Christians, we don't belong to this world. Our true citizenship, our patria, our fatherland, our true home is in heaven. Therefore, we shouldn't be overly concerned with the matters of this world. We should not cling to our material possessions, our physical comfort, or even our lives in such a way that we become what he calls enemies of the cross. What Paul means by this phrase is that we should not be a people who fail to see the glory that lies beyond the cross. We should not be a people who lack faith in the promises of God, and the covenant that he's made with us, and therefore deny that any good can come from struggle, self-denial, penance, fasting, and the cross. Although we will encounter difficulty and suffering in this world, if we remain faithful to Christ who has shown us the way back to the Father, then that pain and suffering will be transformed or transfigured into heavenly glory. Our lowly bodies, like that of Christ, will become glorified like His. I'm not sure about you, but I can't wait to see my glorified body. If anything will show the power of God, it's that. But in all seriousness, I think St. Paul says it best in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 18, when he says, "I consider the sufferings of the present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed in us." And 10 verses later, he says, "We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." And then in talking about the struggles and difficulties that we'll face, another 9 verses later, he says, "In all these things, we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." As Christians, the cross is not a source of scandal or meaningless suffering. It's a source of hope, because it leads us to the love of God, the glory of God, fully revealed. What St. Paul is encouraging you and I to do is to conduct ourselves now as though we not only believe, but we trust that God will fulfill his promise to allow his glory to shine through whatever cross might be put in our path, and to trust that nothing will ever separate us from his love so long as we remain faithful to him. See, that's something we often forget. We're the only ones that can separate ourselves from the love of God, but it's by choosing to do our own way rather than to follow his. Instead, if we exhibit that steadfast trust of Abram that we heard about in the first reading, if we follow the example of the psalmist and turn to the Lord as our source of light and salvation, if we wait for the Lord to lead with courage, to be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord to act rather than taking everything into our own hands. When we stand in the shadow of our cross with the Lady of Sorrows by our side, well, then we too have hope that we'll see the light of glory that awaits us on the other side of the cross.